Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I'm delighted to welcome the Executive Director of the Irish American Heritage Museum in Albany, and Ryan Mahoney. Actually, you're a Mahoney, whether you know it or not.
You know, I get yelled at all the time about that.
Yeah, okay. And you're never going to please everybody because of the other, you know, at least half the people will say, hey, you know, what's this Mahoney bit? And the others will say, Mahoney, no such name. You're very welcome. But anyway, we have no problem with the Ryan, except I suppose on the Ryan end, you could be called Mr. Ryan, too.
Yeah, you know, usually they stick with the Ryan Mahoney. No, Mr. Ryan, still a little too young for that.
Of course, try a name like mine and see how many can get it.
Yeah.
Even within the family, we have slip-ups. You're welcome, and indeed, the no better person to maybe fill us in a little bit about on the history of the Heritage Museum in Albany.
Yeah, the Irish American Heritage Museum has been around since 1986. Originally, it was down in East Durham, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple years ago, less than 3 years ago, we moved our headquarters to downtown Albany, right on Broadway, right around the corner from the state capitol. And this has increased our capability of doing year-round programming, having a lecture series, really increasing the amount of foot traffic that we have coming into
right.
our museum. I mentioned that we... In March, we had about 19 days of programming. We had more than 1,000 people come through our front door, which was just phenomenal for a small institution like ourselves.
Incredible. And also, it became, it was great to have it in the Catskills and in the 33rd County of Ireland and in East Durham and that area, but that became seasonal.
Very seasonal. Primarily, we were open during the summer.
Yeah.
So moving to Albany allowed us to be open year-round to help fulfill our education mission, allow us to do our educational programming in the schools, and that's elementary, middle, and high school, as well as colleges. We have
right.
a great working relationship with the local colleges that we're expanding across the state and across the Northeast right now.
Tell us about yourself and your own background.
Yeah. I grew up in the Adirondacks, small town called Indian Lake, New York. I'm a graduate of St. John Fisher College out in Rochester. I graduated there in 2007 and then went on to the University of Albany to receive my master's in public history, primarily a museum studies background. Received that in 2008, and ever since I've been working directly in the museum field. I was just lucky enough about 7 months ago to be offered the position at the Irish American Heritage Museum, which really combined my background and passion for Irish history, Irish culture, and my professional background in the museum field. So it was a perfect fit for me at the time.
Right. Now, we of course, we've through the years, we have had our own connections, contacts with... you know, with the Irish American Heritage Museum, and including, of course, our good friend Jeff Cleary, who brought it to a new level in moving it, was very directly involved in actually moving to Albany, which
that was the first big step of really bringing the museum to the next level. Now we're looking to really fulfill our educational mission, really get into the schools, really increase the amount of public programming
right.
that we're doing. Right now we've got our exhibit schedule set up for the next year and a half. We have programming set up for the next year and a half. We're increasing our relationships with the Irish government, with the local AOHs and the national AOH.
Yeah.
We're really opening up doors and making sure that we have a solid foundation for the future of the museum.
And I tell you, it would be appropriate, particularly since our Consul General Noel Kilkenny is moving actually out of New York and has now been appointed as the new ambassador to Greece. This might be a very good time to acknowledge the tremendous support you know, not only of Noel Kilkenny, but of the Irish government.
Yeah, Noel has been phenomenal for the museum and his support. Anytime we've needed any help, he's been right there, whether it was helping bring the James Connolly exhibit to the
yes.
museum last year, or just kind of helping push our mission and pushing what we're all about. Noel's been there every step of the way. The last couple years, we really couldn't have survived without him. Just a phenomenal supporter of the Irish American heritage and culture.
What is the role of a museum today, particularly like a cultural museum? Is there a common theme? Are the rules and regs that you must have?
You know, I think every museum is unique and different in their own way. And every cultural center is unique and different in its own way. We're not your typical cultural center. We don't have any type of pub affiliated with our museum. You know, our goal is to interpret the actual history and culture of Irish Americans. So that includes music, storytelling, you know, the commemoration of hunger, you know, but we do that in a way where we use the Irish story as a case study for the rest of the immigrant story. So,
right.
You know, the Irish story is very similar to the Italian story. It's very similar to the African-American story. You know, each one has its subtle differences, but we use that Irish story as a case study for, you know, racism or hunger.
Right.
Or the struggles, you know.
That takes it somewhat out of the parochial aspect that we would say, okay, well, Albany, they're probably... You know, very interested in the, you know, in the local area, and of course you would be.
Absolutely.
And there is a ton of history, you know, in the Capital District, and obviously from the Adirondacks and
there is a ton
Erie Canal.
Yeah, you can really use the Irish story and connect it with a million different things. Our big thing right now is connecting with the local inner city schools in Albany, where there might not be a huge Irish population,
yeah.
but there is a huge immigrant population coming in, brand new immigrants.
Right.
We can use their stories and compare it to what the Irish have already been through. So that means that other people other than just Irish ancestry
right.
can connect with our institution, which is just phenomenal. And we've seen great support from the local community.
And under acknowledgements, of course, I think that we, I would like to point out that the former Governor George Pataki was indeed responsible for bringing Ireland's great hunger, the famine in Ireland, into the New York State educational curriculum. That was something that many felt just wouldn't happen.
Absolutely. And talking about the great hunger, at least acknowledging that it existed is a great first step,
right.
Instead of putting it on the back burner. But we can use the story of the Great Hunger to talk about a lot of different other things. Yes, there's the history there, but we can also get into the science behind the whole potato famine. We can get that opens up doors to talking about the Erie Canal. It opens doors to talking about the evolution of immigrants in the 18th, 19th, 20th century. So that's really opened a lot of doors for us educationally.
Now, in bringing it for a museum and bringing culture. It encompasses a huge amount of history, much of it, as in fact with our own museum in downtown Battery Park City. It also relates to groups sensed to today. I think that the Great Hunger, Ireland's famine, has gone a long way, not as, you know, a segment of the past that we had to dig up. When we look at the world today, obviously, and we look at the tremendous, senses and sensibilities of that famine period, many would say we haven't worldwide come an awful long way.
One of the things that we talk about at the museum, and a lot of people talk about it, is learning from the past. So what we try to do is partner up with, whether it's the local AOH or whatnot, we try to lend our support to local food pantries and whatnot, just because hunger did play such a huge role in the Irish history, the Irish story. We want to make sure that no one else has to live through that. So, yeah, that hunger aspect's always at the forefront of our minds at whatever we're doing. Absolutely.
Now, you've had a lot of projects even this year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And is there... when you take over a museum, as you have, say, 7 or 8 years ago, do you have a theme, and is there, you know, an exhibition, is there a kind of a time frame that's acceptable, or are there extended runs? And I'm thinking in terms of, like, in the theater, how do you know whether an exhibition or something is good for a week or a month or...
Yeah, we really try to vary what we do. We are a small institution, so we try to rotate our exhibits every few months. And we really try to hit a lot of different demographics on that. As you can imagine, our main audience is an older audience.
Mm.
So in the future here, we are focusing on a lot of kid-oriented programming. We recently had Derek Mulvine, who's an Irish author, come over. He did a whole Children's Day. Which opens up really a brand new avenue of a new generation of Irish Americans, if you will, getting people interested in their culture and interested where they come from. In the future here, we do have a great exhibition lineup opening up in just a month or two. We have the Irish Influence in the Adirondacks, and that'll run for a couple months. Then we're going to be highlighting the artwork of Power O'Malley. We have a great couple of donors bringing in some work. It'll be the first time the museum's ever had original artwork like this on display. It's a phenomenal interpretation of what Ireland looked like at the turn of the 20th century. And, you know, that hits the art scene. We're going to be opening up a graphic novel exhibit later next year. So comic book art on the legend of Finn McCool.
Right.
So, you know, we're really hitting all these different demographics and different ideas, really opening the doors to a whole new audience that the museum's never really catered to before. It's a lot of fun.
Some, now 18 years ago when the museum opened, it opened under the sponsorship of, or it became a stepchild and a wing of St. Rose College. Recently, or a few years ago, when the decision was, you know, to move it out of the Catskills and East Durham and bring it to Albany. There was a period there when, you know, many thought, well, that's the end of that. They're not going to be able to kind of doubt if they're going to be able to make it on their own. And actually, it has pros and cons.
Yeah, absolutely. It has pros and cons. The great thing about moving to Albany, we do have that relationship with St. Rose, but we also have created a relationship with Siena College, with the University of Albany, with Union College. We've opened up our doors out to the Rochester community with St. John Fisher. We're actually helping in the development of their Irish Studies program and public history program out there, and we'll be bringing our...
In a way, it's a kind of... You're not as restricted.
We're not as restricted. People actually know that we exist now, which is a phenomenal thing for a museum.
Right.
Especially a small museum that's always looking for sources of funding. Bringing us to the Albany area actually put us in the forefront of people's minds and saying, hey, this is a small institution. We can help them out, and we can see a difference in what they're doing. So that's been a huge help for us.
Now, in terms of membership, roughly how many members have you, are you at?
When I came on board 7 or 8 months ago, we had 37 members, which, as many of you can imagine, that's not where a museum wants to be. In just a couple of months, we've raised that to about 200 people, but that's nowhere close to where we want to be. Our membership committee and our board have a goal within the next year and a half, to bring that to 1,000 members or 1,500 members. And you can look at our membership and its benefits at our website, www.irish-us.org. We just launched that this year. A basic membership is $25. You can go all the way up to $1,000 if you want.
Yeah.
I encourage you to go up there. But, you know, anything helps, especially a small institution like ours.
Right.
Right now we have one full-time employee. We are increasing that hopefully very soon to two. We have a great volunteer base. We have some great interns working with us. And it's a really, really bright future for this institution, not just in the Albany area, but nationally through our website, through irishus.org. We're going to be talking about Irish cuisine, the Kerry Cow, the Famine, the Erie Canal. A lot of college students are going to start putting their own work and sharing it on our website. So we're really going to try to become the focus of everything that is Irish American in the country.
What about the balance of somewhat of the chicken and the egg here? You do obviously need and want to have membership. You do need foot traffic. You do need people to come and actually and visit you. And yet, reality of the matter is that your museum can have a worldwide appeal if, in fact, anybody goes to the computer and logs on.
That's exactly it. We have a great physical plant. We have a nice area in downtown Albany. But, you know, people in Ireland can visit our museum through our website. People in California can visit our museum. And actually, we have members from California and from Ireland in our museum.
Right.
So it's great seeing that support. Our big thing right now is getting people to know that we exist.
Right.
It's been a hidden gem for a long time. And in the last couple of months, we've really seen a lot of growth, but we still have a long ways to go. Luckily, we do have a very solid board that's really supportive in everything we do, very active. They're not just there to put their names on a document. They're fully involved. And they've given me great amount of support in the direction that we're headed. Our current chair of the board, Ed Collins, has done a phenomenal job in keeping the museum alive and thriving.
Absolutely. And he, you know, also, he retired, you know, and was supposed to fade off into, you know, into the dust or wind up in Florida.
He's a retired state worker. he got involved with the museum. And I'm sure if you talk to his wife, she'll tell you this is a full-time gig.
That's not only full-time, but she saw much more of him during his working career.
But Ed's one of those people where he has a phenomenal amount of passion for what he does in keeping this museum open and thriving. He wouldn't care if his name was out at the forefront or not. He's just a phenomenal asset to the museum. I think every non-for-profit could definitely use a person like Ed Collins and the rest of our board. Just great people.
You are very lucky also in getting, you know, with a very nice address, downtown.
370 Broadway.
370 Broadway. And also to get as much space and as much room as you actually have.
Yeah, compared to a lot of museums, it's not a huge space, but it's perfect for what we're trying to do right now. It's two exhibit galleries. It has the Paulo Dwyer Library attached to it. We have a capability of screening movies and everything right there, so we have a little theater set up. We do a ton of lectures, ton of storytelling, different classes. It's a really the perfect space for us right now and where we're headed. And we're right at the entrance when you come into Albany. The Fauscher clock is right there to welcome you to Albany. So right when you come in, there's a green clock there right in front of the museum. You cannot miss us. It's been a great thing for the museum moving to downtown.
And contrary to what we would expect in Manhattan, you know, or in New York City, parking is actually very good on weekends there. I mean,
weekdays, weekends. It's free. After 6 o'clock on the weekdays, it's free. Our open hours are generally Wednesday through Sunday. There is meter parking during the weekdays, but there's always spaces available. And then we do a lot of programming at night, so there's always free parking then, and an abundance of free parking.
To grow your membership and to have, you know, not only a solid board, but your membership is actually kind of across the board in many areas.
Actually, our membership's been a great recruitment tool for volunteers as well. In developing our education programs, we have a bunch of former teachers involved. We have some former librarians involved with our library. We have some people that are interested in marketing, helping us put all of our events out on the web pages. It's been a great tool for the museum, absolutely.
Right. And, of course, you're not sitting waiting for the money to come in the door. I mean, you have had very successful fundraising events, including the most recent your golf.
Yeah, we had a great golf tournament, and actually the Consul General Noel Kilkenny was at our golf tournament. That was great raising funds for us. But we are always running around looking to raise funds for the museum. This is something that all of us involved feel very strongly about, and feel very strongly in seeing it succeed. And every single dollar that we receive goes right back into the museum. It goes right back into our educational programming. So everything that we raise has a direct effect on students, has a direct effect on the community, not just Albany, but the entire Northeast and eventually the country, and hopefully overseas to Ireland.
And a lot of work actually has gone into it, the modernization of the building itself.
It's up to museum standards. Our lighting is within all the requirements. We're climate-controlled. Right. We have a phenomenal security system. It is a state-of-the-art facility that is capable of showing any exhibit. And we have brought in a number of exhibits, and we're looking to do that in the future as well. And hopefully we can increase the partnerships that we have in the New York City area and beyond.
My guest friends, Ryan Mahoney, the executive director of the Irish American Heritage Museum in Albany. And let's give the telephone number, which is 518-427-1916. I should be able to remember that. At least a few of the digits there should ring a bell. 518-427-1916. And the website, very easy to remember as well, it is www.irish-us.org.
Absolutely.
And again, to the soon to be retired, except his wife won't believe it, only actually.
We're going to keep Ed around for a while. He's not getting away that easy.
Well, anyway, to Ed, again, a lot of credit due to Ed for hanging in there. And
Ed and our board have just done a phenomenal job.
And there's nothing in it for you if Ed actually cuts out and gets lost. I mean,
nothing in it for me at all.
And again, the great support and interest from the Irish government and a special fondness and fond memories of Noel Kilkenny.
Absolutely.
Consul General of Ireland.
Yeah, he's, like I mentioned before, just a phenomenal supporter of the museum. We couldn't survive without him.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com.